that man could have potentially died, and not in the way because the drug's not available. It's because of poor, outdated policies and a broken healthcare system.
Welcome to UpTech Report. This is our Apply Tech series. UpTech Report is sponsored by Teraleap. Learn how to leverage the power of customer stories at teraleap.io. Today, I'm excited to be joined by my guest, James Lott, who's based in the Chicago area. He's the founder and CEO of Scripted.co by Script Health. Welcome, James. Good to have you on.
Hey, Alex. Thanks so much for having me today.
Now, if I understand correctly, your focus is wanting to help power up pharmacists and kind of give them the whole new way in today's environment. But help me understand, like, what's the problem in very short, because we'll dig into it more into the episode, but very short, what is the problem that you see and have been set out to solve?
Well, I think the problem is that we have all these doctorate educated pharmacists that have for long, who are in every community for long, have not been utilized correctly by their communities. COVID was the first time that these pharmacists got to really show what they're capable of. And pharmacists are ready to convert and start doing more clinical services at the pharmacy to expand access to care.
So you're wanting to kind of play a role with them to help power them to provide more service, more options. And I think a lot of people, even consumers, myself included, didn't realize how much a pharmacist could do. And I feel like our prep conversation also is like the competition that they're having also in the pharmaceutical area, direct mail solutions like Mark Cuban just launched this thing. There's just so much competition. Do I understand that right?
Yeah, there's also a tremendous amount of competition. Drug prices is an easy political point. If you saw what Mark Cuban did, he was clever. You know, he's like, you know, taking on the drug industry, talking about how drug pricing is too high. This does not bode well for brick and mortar pharmacies, because honestly, when brick and mortar pharmacies, when their business model doesn't work, they close down. And pharmacy deserts is a real thing. When people don't have pharmacies, they're less likely to have good health. So there's a lot there. But one way all these pharmacies can fight it is by delivering these high margin services that are clinical and help their patients in need for non-urgent and acute care.
You're actually a pharmacist yourself?
Yeah, right? I am. I am a pharmacist, actually. And my background's in pharmacy and public policy specifically.
Wow. So it's like you understand the space intimately. I always appreciate founders' journeys like this where they understood the problem because they were there. But like, did that just naturally lead to me looking for these solutions? Or, I mean, where did it all culminate for you?
Yeah. So when I was a pharmacist, and I did all my education here on the south side of Chicago, which I'm really proud of. When I was a pharmacist, I moved out to the Seattle area, and they always put young pharmacists in like kind of marginalized communities, areas that nobody else wants to go to. But I actually thrive in those kinds of environments because people there, they don't expect a lot. But with me and my team, I train them to give a ton. And me being like at the top of my game, helping patients, made my staff better. It made patients come to us first. After a year of being there, patients would come to the pharmacy first because they knew our staff was competent and helpful. And they would come and ask me questions before they'd ask their doctor. But I saw it going on so many times where I was like, wait, you know, why can't I? You just need an asthma refill and you're going out of town tomorrow. Why do you have to wait for your doctor? Why can't I just up this prescription for you? And then there was one time specifically regarding this asthma where a patient did come into the pharmacy and he did not have insurance. He basically asked me if there was an over-the-counter solution because he didn't have a doctor that he could use. And I said, well, the things over-the-counter aren't that great, but if you must, you can go and get this this epinephrine inhaler there. As he was walking there, he collapsed. He fainted. And I kind of broke protocol, kind of. Don't tell anybody. I went and got a prescription and asthma inhaler from the back and I administered to him and it saved his life. The fact that what I did could have potentially gotten me terminated from my job and potentially even fined by the State Board of Pharmacy and other folks, that's stupid. I have a doctorate degree. The man knows what he wants. As long as I'm reporting that to, if he did have a primary care doctor, I think that should have been, you know, how that transaction would have gone. That man could have potentially died. And not in the way because the drug's not available. It's because of poor, outdated policies and a broken healthcare system.
So has the policy situation changed? Are pharmacists able to do this now? Like, where are we now?
Yeah. So actually, the policies have changed. And at Scripted, we are taking full advantage of those policies that have changed. Several states actually allow pharmacists to prescribe. In fact, 48 states have some language to allowing pharmacists to prescribe. Now, a better question is, why hasn't this been scaled or actually rolled out? Well, it's because of big misalignment incentives. And the way that the states did it, they made it extremely difficult. Pharmacists have to jump through so many hoops to do it. And pharmacies, at the end of the day, their core motto is filling prescriptions. Unless there's been a proven model that something's worked, and there is a very big, you know, opportunity in terms of an economic incentive to do it, they're risk averse and they're not going to do it. They need somebody to come and kind of like build the car for them, give them the keys to make it super, super easy. And that's where Scripted.co was born.
It's like the policies thankfully changed, but it just is too difficult to make it happen, to make the change. Hence, technology comes into play. I always love when technology can save the day. So help me understand, in brief, like, how does your technology work? What is it doing to make it pharmacists' lives easier?
Yeah. So I'll go about this one way. So the first transaction that ever happened on our platform, a 41-year-old woman walked into her local doctor's office in a rural area in the West Coast. She knew she had a urinary tract infection, which is super common in women, very painful and uncomfortable. And so she just goes to the doctor's office, didn't have an appointment. And the doctor said, "I'm sorry, I can't see you. We're backed up for about 3 weeks." So this woman had to go find her own solution. So she did what a lot of people do. She went to her local pharmacy, got something over the counter. She actually went to the pharmacist and said, "Hey, does this work well?" And the pharmacist says, it's okay, but we actually have something better. We just started using this platform called Scripted. Why don't you scan this QR code here? You're going to answer some questions about your condition today. I'm going to review them using this platform. And if you're eligible, I can issue you a new prescription for a effective antibiotic. Now, the way Scripted works is Scripted allows the patient to answer questions, a digital questionnaire. On the platform, the pharmacist has what we call clinical decision support. Based on the patient's responses, the pharmacist is flagged for anything that might be alarming, but can ultimately quickly decide if this patient is eligible and meets the criteria for this for a prescription antibiotic. And if she does, the pharmacist will write the prescription. If she doesn't, that pharmacist will notify the doctor and refer her to a physician where she can get more immediate care. Of course, pharmacists want to get billed for these services through the patient's insurance, and we are working on that right now. And then be able to like basically send any information to necessary folks like the government or the physician or anybody else. So there's a ton of back-end functions that have to happen where if the pharmacist didn't do it themselves manually, they'd be out of compliance. Of course, our platform works on all those things, makes this whole process seamless.
I imagine when you mentioned earlier that the policies changed, but it's just too much work to change. It's probably all that reporting and having to fill out the right paperwork. And it's like, they're not built for that. Hence why a system like yours takes care of that regulatory concerns of having to go through the right procedures that everyone's covered. Is that right?
Yep. And then the happy ending to that, because we built all these things into the platform, the pharmacist reviewed, saw the patient was eligible, wrote her an antibiotic. The patient paid $39 cash in this visit, and the future will be free, hopefully, with her insurance. And the patient went on her way. She didn't have to wait 3 weeks. She didn't have to get a Band-Aid. She got a painkiller. You know, it's like the question is, how do we scale this experience to every zip code in the United States? And that's what we want to do at Scripted.co.
I actually have a personal story connected to this. I'm curious, is this type of situation where even if you're traveling and you can't go see your doctor, but you know what you need, you could just go to a local pharmacy and use this. Is that right?
Just like the European way.
Okay. Because like my wife and I, we were traveling in similar situation. We weren't around and we couldn't get what she needed, but like this type of solution would have been so powerful. So help me understand, like, what's the What's the barriers to rolling this out? Is it just fear of okay, we gotta adopt this, or what other is things are in the way?
The biggest problem, I would say, are twofold. The two biggest problems are, number one, who's going to pay for this? Consumers are used to going to their pharmacy and getting services for free. Pharmacists don't want to do that. They're taking on new roles, new liabilities, taking up more of their time. They'd like to get reimbursed for their services. The good news is the payers that we've talked to, health insurance companies, they're willing to pay. It's just a big disconnect between the pharmacist and the payers, and there's no standardization there either. So that's one thing. The second biggest thing is the laws. There are 50 states and 50 different ways to practice pharmacy and to work this up. So building out a system that is scalable across all 50 states is really difficult. You have to really care about this problem. So fortunately, we do. And then there are a lot of other nuances, but those are things that we, again, believe that technology can kind of help solve the problem.
Are you in a certain number of states so far and working to expand? How does that work for you guys right now?
Yeah, we are in, we're currently in 11 states, and the states that we're in represent, I think, about 44% of the United States population.
Wow. Gotcha. So, but it's, I like your point. It's like you're committed to the problem, and it's just a continual rollout of finding the highest opportunity areas and expanding from there. You mentioned also earlier the pay people, who's going to cover this? Who's going to pay for this? Ideally, insurance covers this. What about people who don't have insurance? Would then they just simply pay the pharmacist directly? Is that would that be an option?
Yeah. In the example we gave earlier for the first transaction, that woman was able to pay cash for the visit at an affordable cash price. But again, if you really want to talk about adoption at scale, it's really difficult to do that without the payers actually wanting to pay. And you know what we've seen so far is everybody would like to figure this out, but there's so much fragmentation amongst pharmacists and how they do things. There's these rock star pharmacists who are small, independently owned. Some of them have already figured this out for themselves. Not many. It's probably like less than, 200 nationwide of the 60,000 pharmacies, but they've done it, but they don't share their knowledge with other people. And because of those types of things, you don't have the scale that you need. And of course, what we're trying to do is we're trying to go in and get those people to work together with us. And we kind of all go at this together, because that's what needs to happen for broad mass change to happen at scale.
Wow. You said that I think there's about 60,000 pharmacies in the US. Is that right?
Correct. And 35% of them are independently owned. It's actually kind of interesting. For easy numbers, you can just say one third are independently owned, one third are owned by CVS and Walgreens and Rite Aid and those big guys, those three big guys. And then the rest are like grocery chains and regional pharmacies.
It's a good way to look at that. Those three buckets. Interesting. I mean, when it comes to like CVS and Walgreens, I feel like CVS is they're really growing their minute clinics, and so like some of the bigger guys are starting to grapple on it, but they're still, I imagine, having trouble at this whole situation too.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Some people ask us about our strategy because they're like, well, there's a minute clinic in all these stores. Well, to date, there are 10,000 CVS stores. They're gonna roll off about 900 of them. But even around those 900, there's still only 1 in 9 stores that have a minute clinic. I don't think that there's anything in the current plans for there ever to be 100% capacity of minute clinics at every store. I don't think that business model actually is that works, because you have to pay a new staff member, a nurse practitioner, to run that. Whereas with Scripted, we've developed a platform where the pharmacist could, in a timely manner, roll out these services that we're offering, and that can be done at all stores that where states allow it.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, is not having to add new team members, because that's a major cost, right? To be able to offer this. We mentioned earlier at the beginning, it's like I don't think most consumers, and maybe even pharmacists, I don't know that they can prescribe. Do most pharmacists know this now, and it's just consumers don't realize it?
Yeah, they know. And if you talk to a pharmacist about it, pharmacists are having their own little kind of powwow right now about working conditions. So it might be a little triggering for them to hear this, but we've thought of that too. I'm a pharmacist, and I really do have a lot of compassion for pharmacists and their time and how busy they are. So we think of thoughtful solutions, and we also know the industry needs to change some new practices before this can go at scale.
I feel like with COVID, of course, there's been a huge push for everyone to go into the local pharmacy, get their vaccines done and other types of vaccinations done. But even I feel like you mentioned there's like COVID medication coming up that could be prescribed.
Yeah. So that's been interesting. So first off, pharmacists, I mean, if we want to quantify pharmacists' impact, if we want to quantify pharmacists' impact of how many vaccines they've given, they've given over 229 million vaccines. 229 million vaccines have been given by pharmacists in this nation. That's a lot. And imagine if pharmacists were not vaccinating. Pharmacists just started vaccinating really at scale like 12 to 15 years ago. So it's pretty new. But take away that, we would all still probably be waiting on our vaccines today, you know? So, but yeah, with the other thing, the COVID pill, Pfizer has created a pill that is showing, I think, something like 89% effectiveness that reduces hospitalization and death in high-risk patients, which is phenomenal. Now, we've seen some unprecedented policy, and again, this goes to how complex it could be, where the FDA, they didn't fully approve the drug. They gave what's called an emergency use authorization, which is just kind of like a temporary approval before the data comes in. Now, in their approval, they say only nurse practitioners, physicians, and physician's assistants can write the prescriptions, excluding pharmacists. So at Scripted, we personally wrote a letter to the FDA asking them to explain why, because in the last pandemic, which was the H1N1 flu pandemic, they gave a UA to another flu drug, but they did not put that authorization. So we asked them why, and they actually responded. So we got a lot of insight for the FDA. But if you want me to go into that, I can, but I'm just showing this is how complex it can be. It can be complex at the federal level. You know, obviously, a pharmacist could prescribe that drug, that could save a ton of lives, right? Mm-hmm. And they know how. So
there is a huge need for being able to get easy access to medication and since the pharmacists are already there in the local neighborhoods, et cetera, it just makes sense to be able to give them, if they have the training, they have the knowledge and the right systems in place, I feel like it makes sense then they should have the ability to do more.
Exactly.
So what are you excited about when you look at your technology and the environment, the industry, where it's headed? What can you share? What's on the roadmap and what are you working on?
Yeah, well, what's on the roadmap is we are working with some of the most passionate pharmacists in the country. And I'm not saying that for a good soundbite, like that's actually true. Like for instance, one pharmacy we are partnering with has adopted this clinical model and literally has turned her pharmacy into a clinic. She now does more revenue in clinical services than she does in prescriptions and growing. And she just wants to, she's so wonderful. She wants to help other pharmacists kind of learn her model, sharing with us by way of Scripted being kind of the vehicle to connect the community. You know, when you have that kind of a network of potentially hundreds or thousands of pharmacists all working together and sharing their knowledge, that's how you scale change. That's how you scale access to care. And of course, you know, we are contacted fairly often by, you know, some of the pharmacy leaders in the traditional retail setting, chain leaders. And they're contacting us, asking us questions as well about our model. So, but what we're excited to do is solve a problem. You know, I started this company completely wet behind the ears as a social entrepreneur because I knew I wanted to bring actual change to healthcare. It's taken a while, but we have an amazing business model that's sustainable and scalable and is really going to solve a problem. And it's not that often you can find something like that. And put that to work. I'm really proud of myself, my team, and just kind of all the pharmacists who think that this is worthy of their time and implementing into their business models.
What is the future of a local pharmacy look like then to you? What do you think?
It's funny you say that. We were actually featured in a study a white paper by Deloitte talking about the future of pharmacy. And we were one of a few companies listed in there with our model. I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, just like pharmacists like doing a quick blood test and, you know, being able to get all your labs and do a health wellness check right then and there that takes 5 to 10 minutes to pharmacists prescribing and doing things like that. I think that from the pharmacy leaders we're talking about, the consistent theme we have is pharmacists need to stop counting pills and start spending time with patients and bettering their health. Now, I think that there's in the next 5 to 10 years that will happen. The question is how. Nobody has a good answer for that, but that's why, again, I feel like our team, us, you know, being working side by side with our pharmacists and them helping us, they want to help us build this product, which is amazing. I think that we'll get there first, and we'll probably show the rest of the profession how to get it and how to do it right.
James, thank you for sharing this journey that you've been on and the vision that you're painting of the future of pharmacies. This is, I'm excited, and I see the vision. This is awesome.
Thanks so much, Alex.
Absolutely, and we'll see you all on the next episode of UpTech Report. Have you seen a company using AI, machine learning, or other technology to transform the way we live, work, and do business? Go to uptechreport.com and let us know.